Why are you gay?
Who says I'm gay?
You are gay.
Can't do this.
But yes, what I'm referencing is, of course, the legendary interview.
Pasta. Yes,
this one from Uganda. And this is actually relevant because Uganda has banned being LGBT. I wanted to look at part of the reason why they've done this, as well as just African attitudes towards the West and the West's perspective on this, because I think it's actually quite an important thing that people have overlooked here. But let's just remind ourselves of the meme magic that is this interview. And I rewatched it again recently, all hour and 10 minutes of it. And
oh, it's gold, isn't it?
It is a masterpiece. There's so much good stuff here, but let's just get on with the video, shall we?
We're also weighing in on the raging debate on homosexuality in Uganda, which is taking another twist today, with questions as to whether Uganda is indeed becoming a safe haven for homosexuals. President Museveni on Sunday, while attending the inauguration of the new Archbishop of the Church of Uganda at Namirembe Cathedral, insisted that, well, he had no problem with homosexuals as long as they did not promote the practice. Well, the media is also awash with stories of soccer ace Chris Mubiru molesting kids and, you know, having canon knowledge with underage, children deemed to be underage. We bring in the studio this morning one of the gay rights activists, Mr. Should I call you Mr.? Sure. Pepe Julian Onzima. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for
good morning.
Me. Morning to you.
Why are you gay?
Who says I'm gay?
You are gay. You are a transgender.
What shows that I'm gay?
You are a transgender, yes, and you're a gay rights activist and an outspoken lesbian, homosexual. How can I describe you?
I love the sort of naive confusion there. It's brilliant. The whole thing is...
People okay. really should go watch the full thing. Can we mm-hmm. talk about it for just for a second?
Of course, yeah.
Because one of the things I love about that interview is that the host is actually not some homophobe who's trying to belittle Pepe over there. He is instead genuinely curious. He has no idea what Pepe's talking about, has no familiarity with any of it, and is just like, explain this to me. I don't understand. I mean, I do love... There's at one point where Pepe's like, I'm an LGBT rights activist. And he just goes, LGBT. Where's the H? Where's human rights? There's no H. It's just like, but he's not being obstructive. He's genuinely curious. It's just a different culture.
When the pastor comes in and starts being far more antagonistic, he quite often would stick up for Pepe, as we're calling
For people who don't know, Pasta, I don't remember his name. He turns up. He's not invited on. He just barges in.
Well, he was on the phone. The phone cuts out, and then you actually hear him in the car. And then I think he must have driven to a market, picked up some phallic fruit and veg, and then driven to the studio and just walked in.
And then you're being like, this is what they use.
So yeah, he's like brandishing vegetables. Then he starts eating a cucumber mid-interview and then talking whilst chewing it up.
It's so annoying as well. It's like, you get lesbians and gays. I've never figured out what he said.
Does he start just talking in Bantu or something?
Yeah, that's why I think it's a slur for gay people. Okay. I don't know how you say it, like abubodadenga or something. It's it's so strange though that he goes from English to like the native
just
language.
Just transitions immediately. Yeah.
When you just speak English, you're watching the interview, you're just like, what is this? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I've never known a religious man to have such chaotic energy as well. But one of the things he did bring up, this pastor, is something that I've seen repeatedly in Ugandan politics and a lot of other neighbouring African countries, is that he points out the influences of the UN, the EU and America funding these activist groups. And what he framed it as is they're trying to recruit, they're trying to get more people.
They're trying to build a big gay.
Yes, exactly that. Unironically, yes. I think that there is perhaps some parallels there in the Western influence and our own domestic situation, whereby there seems to be some sort of push to get more and more people to identify with this movement, even though it probably doesn't apply to them.
I mean, there's
that's fair to say, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's all fundamental point that's totally true. And like, regardless of how abhorrent you find the opinions of the foreigners, like the hatred of foreign organizations turning up and funding movements in your country to fundamentally change its culture, I think everyone can agree, regardless of how like barbaric your culture is, no one takes that lightly. Like, no one enjoys that. Mm-hmm. And Piers Morgan actually found this out recently in that interview I was talking about, where he he speaks about the fact that when he went over to America and started blurating them about guns and how they need to ban all their guns, like, not only was it not well received because it's a retarded argument, mm-hmm. it was really not well received because he's British. Like, you really don't want to hear in a British accent the people you sort off with your guns telling you you need to get rid of all your guns. So it's just true that, like, when the UN, the EU, or whatever turn up to your country and start funding stuff, no matter how morally good you might argue the movement is, mm-hmm. it's just not organic mm-hmm. in that way. But, and when it's organic, it's mm-hmm. far more powerful.
One of the important things you mentioned in that clip as well, you mentioned President Museveni, and he's a key figure. He's still, I believe, the president in Uganda, as far as I'm aware. If not, he's still a very significant figure. And he mentioned that he believed that, you know, it's okay to be gay as long as you're not advocating it for other people. You're not recruiting, as the pastor would have put it. So
yeah, let's not play about with what that would probably mean in reality, which is no public displays of affection or blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. That's probably what is going to be the law, I imagine.
Yes, but that perspective has changed recently. And the fact that they have banned being LGBT entirely coincides with the fact that Uganda is declining to renew the mandate of the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, which expires at the end of this month. So it's interesting that they're basically distancing themselves from the UN at the same time as them passing this law. It kind of suggests that there is some sort of influence here, or counter-reaction, you could say.
So just to get this understanding, so they've changed the law now, so it basically just is illegal to be gay.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to actually read a little bit about it first, because there's some ins and outs of it that help you understand the situation. But one thing that is also important is that American and Western leftists more generally have pointed to American evangelicals going over to Africa and talking to them about religion and supposedly radicalizing. That's their explanation, rather than it being
organically local.
I
hear this a lot. I'm never really convinced. I always feel like the Ugandans are probably radicalizing the pastors from America.
Yeah, but when you hear African Christians talking about Christianity, it's a very different brand of Christianity to Western Christianity, in that they actually are Christian.
It's far more sincere.
Yes.
It's not just some spiritual thing you do in mm-hmm. you know, spare time.
I've met African Christians, and they're certainly sincere in their beliefs, and there's no doubting it. Whereas some Western Christians, you're just like, well, maybe you're kind of just LARPing as a Christian rather than actually being one. But I'm not here to split hairs. One important thing is, I have covered African politics before. This is an article titled The Dumbest Country on Earth, where I thought it'd be interesting to do a deep dive into the country with the lowest average IQ of 59, which is Equatorial Guinea. And I didn't make fun of them or anything. I don't think that's very productive. I'd wanted to find out why it was the lowest. And I did lots of digging about the nature of the country, why this is the case, so we could find out what factors actually influence people's intelligence.
Yeah, and then the effects, which is that basically everyone's being exploited by the wealthy.
Yes, that's exactly it. As you can probably tell from the thumbnail, the ruling family, and it is a ruling family, have just harvested all of the money so that people are just left in horrific poverty. But I talk about it in great detail, and it's one of the pieces of writing I'm probably most proud of. But anyway, back to Uganda. And here is an article from Reuters titled, Uganda passes a law making it a crime to identify as LGBTQ, which of course is a change from President Museveni's position in that interview clip that we watched, where he said he doesn't mind as long as you're not promoting it, which this is clearly a harder line stance, isn't it? So it says, Uganda Parliament passed a law on Tuesday making it a crime to identify as LGBTQ, handing authorities broad powers to target gay Ugandans who already face legal discrimination and mob violence. I think it was, as you say, illegal to publicly display this sort of thing and to spread the ideology, but now they've just banned it outright. And it's my understanding that this is a reaction to the external Western forces, forcing them, well, not necessarily forcing them, but which in turn made them sort of have a reaction to that that would be stronger than things would have been otherwise had it been left alone. But anyway, carrying on, it says more than 30 African countries, including Uganda, already ban same-sex relations. The new law appears to be the first to outlaw merely identifying as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer, according to rights group Human Rights Watch. Supporters of the new law say it is needed to punish a broader array of LGBTQ activities, which they say threaten traditional values in the conservative and religious East African nation. We can certainly see in the West how this ideology has been used to undermine people's culture.
Well, I would say that there's two differences, which is between like the gay community and then the LGBT. We've gone over this endlessly, but I'll do it once more in case someone new is listening. But you have people who are gay. I mean, homosexuality is clearly natural in the sense that it happens in nature. It happens to people. It doesn't seem to be a choice. And
well, no, you don't. You don't necessarily pick who you're attracted to, do you? It's like
I have had a really funny argument to the opposite recently.
What's that?
I'm not sure I'm buying into this, but I thought it was hilarious. I'm going to mention it. There was a debate on some Vice debate, right? And this person who is like non-binary or something to this black guy is like, well, you clearly didn't choose your sex, who you're attracted to, did you? And he says, yeah, I did. I chose to be straight. She's like, oh, really? When did you choose to be straight? Oh, a couple of years ago. What? Because it's a usual put down, right? It's like, oh, you didn't choose to be straight, right? And then usually the person has nothing. He's like, no, 2 years ago. What happened? He says, well, you know, I was looking at this girl, a really nice ass, and I was like, ah, that's really hot. I should go talk to her. And then she turned around, it was a bloke. I decided I wasn't attracted anymore, so I chose to be straight. And everyone in the room is just completely like without words.
Yeah, what do you say to that?
It's just the funniest thing in the world. But getting back to the subject, like, yeah, homosexuality, I think it's normal and like the right thing to do, just be like, yeah, okay, whatever, be gay, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't think the government should interfere in people's private lives, funnily enough.
But when it comes to like the LGBT ideology, I think it's is separate. And you can find this within just talking to homosexuals of all types throughout, especially the West, because it's where the divide is most prevalent, which is, yeah, no, we want to be left alone. And the alphabet people want to like take over the world or something. They're like, these people are real ideological actors instead of just, I have a sexual preference.
Yes, there is a difference. Like, I'm not going around advocating for straightness all the time. I mean, I know it's really a lost cause. But the article carries on to say, in addition to same-sex intercourse, the law bans promoting and abetting homosexuality, as well as conspiracy to engage in homosexuality, which is a strange turn of phrase, really, to Western ears.
Conspiring to commit homosexuality.
It's a strange phrase, isn't it?
You were having gay thoughts, weren't you? What do they do? Well, I suppose transgenderism is also banned.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering about that situation I just mentioned where you see someone, you think it's a woman, and oh no, it's a man. That was a crime. Like, the police officer is the transgender person.
You turn yourself in, yeah.
That's a sting, isn't it? If you're a copper, dress up as a woman, try and make your behind look, and then if someone approaches you, you'll be like, you're nicked.
Oh, dear. On to slightly more serious matters. Violations under the law...
What do you mean, not serious? I'm genuine. Well, they should do.
You're going to set up African honey traps, yeah. Do you?
You know, that actually happens in an episode of South Park. So it's about prostitution instead. Like the chief officer dresses up as a woman and then goes and has sex with men in their cars, pretending to be a woman.
I remember seeing that, yeah.
When they hand over the money, then he arrests them. It's a bit weird because he insists to go through the full sex act every time. But
he's just very dedicated to his job. Violations under the law draw severe penalties, including death for so-called aggravated homosexuality and life in prison for gay sex. Aggravated homosexuality involves gay sex with people...
Aggravated homosexuality.
Yes, that's what they call it. It's, and again, an unusual term. Involves gay sex with people under the age of 18 or when the perpetrator is HIV positive, among other categories. I mean, noncing on kids and giving people a life-altering disease. I mean, fair enough.
I support the law. Not all the law, just that bit.
And then I'm quoting here, our creator God is happy about what is happening. I support the bill to protect the future of our children. Lawmaker David Barty said during a debate on the bill, This is about the sovereignty of our nation. Nobody should blackmail us. Nobody should intimidate us. This is, again, in clear reference to Western influence, isn't it?
I do wonder, though, if this became law, was it not against the law for a gay man to have sex with a child? Like,
I think it probably already was, but they've increased the penalty for
it. Right.
And it carries on to say, the legislation will be sent to President Museveni to be signed into law. Museveni has not commented on the current proposal, but he has long opposed LGBTQ rights and signed an anti-LGBTQ, I'm so tired of saying that.
This law- is a whole other problem, isn't it? So the West changed their rhetoric from like homosexual tolerance to the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much harder to convince genuine homophobic people to be like tolerant of homosexuals because you're now adding on all this extra stuff. I mean, I still haven't figured out what queer means. Nobody knows.
I'm not entirely certain myself.
And also the T doesn't have anything to do with LGB, as we found out in the West. But sorry, but like, yeah, that aspect, I just people need to recognize is actually harming. If you're trying to make the case for homosexual acceptance overseas, like, whatever.
It's actively detrimental to the cause that they're trying to promote. Lots of these governmental NGOs, these sorts of things.
Well, are they for homosexual acceptance? Well, I don't think they are anymore.
They're almost being a good propaganda tool for the people who are pushing against it, aren't they?
No, but even in the West, they're like, you're not gay, you're trans. I mean, like, we have the data on this. What is it, like 80%, I think Jordan Peterson said recently, of those who think they're transgender turn out to be gay men.
It's a very weird phenomenon. Surely people would know that, yes, actually, I'm a man who's attracted to a man rather than I'm a woman, but now I'm straight.
So no, you're just a bottom, mate. Like, that's fine. Just be what you are, not what you... Oh, the conversation.
Kind parent Callum there, telling you how it is.
Dad, I'm transgender. No, you're just a bomb. Loser.
Like how you've just taken up smoking.
I think I'll become a dad. I just...
got to get the stress out somehow.
Yeah.
So, carries on to say, they signed this law in 2013 that Western countries condemned before a domestic court struck it down on procedural grounds. And then in recent weeks, they've cracked down on this sort of stuff. And then it also cites, this month, authorities arrested a secondary school teacher in the Eastern District of Jinja. That sounds like an African...
I love African names.
Yeah. You are Jinja.
There's a sketch... I'm interrupting so much.
That's all right. Carry on.
There's a guy talking about names in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And there's like one kid that's just called like Spanner. they'll just call them household items. And it's just like, this is great. This is how I want to live.
But you call someone a spanner, like you're an idiot.
Yeah, there's another kid who's called Screwdriver. There's another kid called, like, you know, Spark Plugs or something.
It's like General Mosquito, General Mosquito Spray.
Yeah, but that's brilliant.
Like, it is great.
I believe it was because, like, the family ran a repair shop, so they just named all their kids after stuff. And...
You own a coffee shop, yeah.
Hand me the spanner. No, I forgot it.
Come here, coffee bean.
Yeah, that wouldn't be racist though, because they're all African. So
it didn't even clock.
Oh right.
But teacher was arrested over accusations of grooming of young girls into unnatural sex practices. She was subsequently charged with gross indecency and is in prison awaiting trial. The police said on Monday they had arrested six people accused of running a network that was actively involved in the grooming of young boys into acts of sodomy. So I'm not entirely sure of the details of these cases, but there are at least cases that are going on here that have culminated in this. And I'm not sure, it could potentially be just that they are trying to make them in favor of LGBT. It might not be grooming as we conceive of it in the Western world, whereas, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, that sort of stuff.
I think it would be wrong to assume it's either pedos or... people just telling them that gay people exist, because it could be either.
It could, yeah. That's the point I'm trying to make.
I hate how some people are like, oh, no, I'm just going to assume that it's one or the other, because no, both these things exist around the world.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. So I wanted to look into a little bit about why this might be. And here, this is ironically from the World Economic Forum, of all places, but, you know, the graph is useful. It shows the religious makeup of countries, and blue is the Christian. I think green is Islam. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I think the grey is atheism, and I think red might be Hinduism based on India there. And of course, China and all is just a weird anomaly.
Taoist, Buddhist, weird place.
Hey, don't insult Taoism. It's a pretty good philosophy as far as philosophies go.
I just said they were weird.
But yes, as you can see,
the Taoist in the room is like, oh, come on.
You've not followed the path to enlightenment, my friend. But yes, you see sort of Central Africa, Uganda, the Congo, Kenya, bits of Tanzania, Angola, these sorts of countries, very Christian. You notice that compare those to, say, Europe, there's a lot more Christianity there. Obviously, with Nigeria, it's a bit of a mix between Christians and Muslims, as we know from the fact that they're in conflict with one another.
I didn't even know that Ugandans had a sizable Muslim population. So, I mean, there's that.
Nor did I. It was a bit of a surprise to me. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that they would support these laws just as much, if not more so.
Oh, why?
Yeah. Have you heard about Islam's view on homosexuality? I mean, but anyway, if we move on to the next one, here we have, if you could play the video, John, I'm not sure whether there'll be audio, but hopefully there will be. This is after the actual vote. They broke out into song.
The opposition and the government.
Both sides. There were only two people that voted against
this country
bill.
Will stand firm. And once it passed, I can tell you, Madam Speaker, we are going to reinforce the law enforcement officers to make sure that homosexuals have no space in Uganda.
It's very strange from the perspective of a Westerner, isn't it?
I'd love to go and interview them.
I know. It's...
Because I wonder if they're able to make that distinction, or even if they're aware of obviously the difference between, like, because as we got over, the T and the Q don't really have anything to do with LGB. Like, it's a whole different ballgame. It's just the West has made it look like it's like that.
Yeah, but I wanted to illustrate that from this more tolerant position in 2013, it isn't exactly tolerant, but it was more tolerant than this.
I just don't want to see it.
Yeah, from that to them all cheering when they make it illegal is quite the change in the space of, what, 10 years?
Yeah.
Well, it is 10 years. So I think that it's fair to say that the Western influence has accelerated a reaction against this sort of tolerance. It's done the complete opposite of what it has set out to do. I mean, it's almost like exporting democracy to Iraq had the complete opposite effect. But there we go. And I'm not going to whinge about foreign policy.
Eat my democracy.
You become a democracy or else.
I mean, it is kind of embarrassing. I was thinking the other day, just like, the Americans really haven't won much.
No.
Like, Afghanistan, you lost. Mm-hmm. No, Syria, you lost. I mean, Iraq, Pyrrhic victory.
I mean,
Libya,
a lot of the West's activities influencing the world around it have only gone to harm the West.
It's been a bad 20 years.
I'd say even longer than that. I mean, you could even go back to, like, Vietnam.
Yeah, sure, but, you know, we win the Cold War and stuff.
That's true, but I suppose.
The last 20 years of American influence has just been not good.
Mm-hmm.
Not gone well.
I mean, I don't want to blame the Americans. We're just as bad.
No, but I mean, they're the hegemon. They're the ones who are like, we'll go to Syria, we'll go to Libya. And it's just like, cool. I mean, it didn't work out, did it?
Mm-hmm. But carrying on, Pink News had something to say about this, and they drew attention to something which wasn't mentioned by the BBC or Reuters. Apparently, during the legislative hearing, MP Sarah Opendi called for gay men to be castrated. And I'm quoting directly here, saying life imprisonment is not adequate because this person is going to go into prison and continue living his life, maybe even continuing with homosexuality in prison.
Really? No. Oh, God.
That never happens.
If you put the gay men in prison, they'll
really hate that.
No, they won't engage in homosexuality. That's...
Mm.
Did they shout her down and be like, that's the far right, we don't listen to that?
Well, it's not entirely clear what the reaction was, but apparently, she went on to say, these people should be castrated. And they quote then, one of the two MPs to oppose the bill, Fox Oidoi, said that it contravenes established international and regional human rights standards because of its restrictions on LGBTQ+ rights, which sounds very Western, to be fair. I mean, that's the only thing where it actually sounds like it could have come out of the mouth of one of our politicians. But yes, two people in their entire parliament. That's kind of mind-blowing to me that would be the case, but okay. There's also...
try Saudi Arabia.
That's true. There's also the BBC talking about this. They pointed out something that I thought was interesting, that people were going to use it to increase corruption, and they quote someone saying, there is a lot of blackmail. People are receiving calls that if you don't give me money, I'll report that you are gay.
I don't mean to laugh because it's very serious. It's so schoolboy.
Yeah.
Just the language is like, I'm going to tell dad you're gay.
It is like the kind of thing that we would have said when we were like 10 years old in school.
Yeah.
But no, it's obviously very serious because you having a means of leveraging.
Yeah, I can't change it though. So what am I going to do?
I know. But I just wanted to emphasize as well that it's not just Uganda. There are other sub-Saharan African countries that have similar views. So here we have the Kenyan president of 4 years ago, who's President Uhuru Kenyatta. I probably butchered his name. I'm pretty sure. Isn't Uhuru what Gazi Kodzo would say? I can't remember.
I've lost it. I've just imagined the Spider-Man meme just being, you are gay, you are gay.
But let's hear what he has to say about the matter.
In Kenya, to be gay, the LGBT community is illegal. They just want to have equal rights, the same privacy and equality as all other Kenyans do. Is that something that you aspire to for your country?
I want to be very clear. I will not engage in a subject that is of no, it is not of any major importance to the people and the Republic of Kenya. This is not an issue, as you would want to put it, of human rights. This is an issue of society, of our own base as a culture, as a people, regardless of which community you come from. This is not acceptable. This is not agreeable. This is not about Uhuru Kenyatta saying yes or no. This is an issue that the people of Kenya themselves, who have bestowed upon themselves a constitution, right, after several years, have clearly stated that this is not a subject that they are willing to engage in, yeah, at this time and moment. In years to come, possibly long after I'm president, who knows? Maybe our society will have reached a stage where those are issues that people are willing, freely and open to discuss. I have to be honest with you. And that is the position that we have always maintained. Those are the laws that we have, and those are laws that are 100% supported by 99% of the Kenyan people, irregardless of where they come from.
Surprisingly clear speaking. I'm used to Western politicians that if asked a question, anything like that would squirm under pressure.
Yeah. They're far more articulate than any Western politician would answer. But what's interesting is it really is just a failure of Westerners to engage with foreign countries, especially corpo journos. They're just like, oh, don't you want to talk about gay rights?
It's a form of moral elitism, really. Because if you're talking down to people saying you're immoral, you're terrible, you need to behave like us. Well, what incentive do they have to listen to you? Because if you're insulting them, they're not going to be like, well, you know what? I want to be like you, unless they're a weird nation of cuckolds that's just like, yes, I like being insulted.
But if we steel man like the interviewer's position, they're like, oh, maybe I can convince or show that it's illogical or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still just a really weird thing to do, to go to a foreign nation you have no influence over, no right to try and change. Like you're just a guest. And just be like, oh, I'm going to fundamentally change this place. It's like, you're not going to. Like, calm down. Just try and teach people around the world what is there.
I always find it amusing that people who complain about imperialism are also just like, yes, we need to force our values on other countries.
Yeah, I don't even care about Islam anymore. You know, people used to talk about, isn't it horrible what Muslims do in Islamic countries? I'm not even slightly
Muslim countries are full of Muslims. So they're in for the ride, aren't they?
Especially after Afghanistan. It's like, oh, we'll go there and we'll reform it, and then they'll, you know, think women should be able to walk around and whatnot. And it's just like, yeah, true. $2 trillion later, this whole thing's a waste of time.
You can't force people to change their minds at the barrel of a gun, can you? Normally it does the opposite. It's pretty common sense when you think about it. And finally, here is the Zambian president 3 years ago.
And the Zambian leader was unequivocal about his stand on the issue when he spoke to us.
We are saying no to homosexuality. Why should you say we're going to be civilized if we only allow it? Are you saying we are very primitive now because we are frowning upon homosexuality? Even animals don't do it. Why should we be forced to do it because we want to be seen to be smart, to be seen to be civilized and advanced and so on?
But yes, this is a repeated theme in many sub-Saharan African countries that, yes, they don't support it. And quite often it is Western aggravation that has caused a reaction and an intolerance to something that they were more willing to
accept 20 years ago or 10 years ago.
So Western influence has had, I think, a very tangible negative influence on these people that they're trying to help. And I think it should be a lesson that you don't interfere in other countries and treat them like they're inferior to you. You can perhaps give them advice, try and help them out, but you don't try and strong arm them to agree with everything you do. I think that's a fundamental mistake of lots of Western foreign policy.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content that's on the site, such as the premium videos we do, so this one on American History X and the narrative therein. If you'd like to find out what else is being put out, you can follow on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.